discourse on the manifold elements, Bahu Dhatuka Sutra. This discourse appears in Middle Length Sayings, this is the 115th discourse. Thus have I heard at one time the Lord was staying near Savatthi in the Jetaguru in Anathapindika's monastery. While he was there, the Lord addressed the monks, saying, "Monks, you heard one." Those monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus: "Whatever fears arise, monks, all arise for the fool, not the wise man. Whatever troubles arise, all arise for the fool, not the wise man. Whatever misfortune arise, all arise for the fool, not the wise man. Monks, as a spark of fire from a house thatched with rushes or house thatched with grass sets fire to gabled house and that are smeared inside and out, protected from the wind, with walls that are fastened, windows that are closed, even so, monks, whatever fears, troubles, misfortunes arise, all arise for the fool, not for the wise man. Thus, monks, if the fool who is beset by fear, the wise man is not beset by fear. The fool has trouble, the wise man does not have trouble. The fool has misfortune, the wise man does not have misfortune. Monks, there is not fear, trouble, misfortune for the wise man. Therefore, monks, thinking, investigating, we will become wise. This is how you must train yourselves, monks." So, investigating is vimansa. So, we are, investigate about this Dhamma and mindfully. So, we will become wise. So, we see the truth of this one. You know, the fool has got all the troubles. They get into jail and, you know, killing, all those things happen to the...
And more than that, wasting time, isn't it?
Yes, that's one of the biggest here. And when this had been said, when the Venerable Ananda spoke thus to the Lord, "What is the stage at which it suffices to say, reverser, investigating the monk is wise?" And Buddha actually asked monks to become a triple investigator. So this is actually the triple investigator. So you can see that these things are there, plus there are a little bit more.
What is third thing? That means three things, triple.
Triple, that is you got to know about the elements, and you got to know about this, the ayatana, the spheres, sort of thing, and the dependent origination. So one got to be a triple investigator all the time, and investigate this Dhamma in these three ways. Another, as soon as a monk is skilled in the elements and skilled in the sense fields and skilled in dependent arising and skilled in the possible and the impossible, it is at this stage, another, that it suffices to say, investigating the monkey's voice. So we have dhatu, dhatu kusalo hoti in Pali, dhatu kusalo, ayatana kusalo, paticca samuppada kusalo, tana tana kusalo. So those are the Pali words. But reverse, at what stage does it suffice to say the monk is skilled in the elements? There are these 18 elements, Ananda, the element of eye, the element of material shape, the element of visual consciousness, the element of ear, the element of sound, the element of auditory consciousness. So as you can see that there is this eye and the form, so eye consciousness arises. So there is ear and the sound, ear consciousness arises. Nose and the smell, nose consciousness arises. And then there is this tongue and the taste, so tongue consciousness arises. And the body and the tangible thing touches, so the body consciousness arises. And there is mind and mental state, or Dhamma, so the mind consciousness arises. So there are 18 of them. Last time we look at that one as 18, rambling as well, you know, one would actually go with this one, go into the rambling of the mind. So, in simple terms, those are the 18. So, so these are the elements. So, so we get the element of sound, element of auditory consciousness, element of nose, and so on. So you can see they starting with pretty fundamental things. And there might be another way also, reverse, according to which it suffices to say the monk is skilled in the element. There might be Ananda. There are these six elements, Ananda: the element of extension, the element of cohesion, the element of radiation, the element of mobility, that is motion, the element of space, the element of consciousness. When Ananda, he knows and sees these six elements, it is at this stage that it is supposed to say, the monkey is killed in the elements. So we actually discussed this one in greater detail last week about those the six elements, remember? And then what Buddha said, that one should be negligent of wisdom. One should be negligent of wisdom means that one has to remove, you know, one should, by intuitive wisdom, one should regard that these elements are not mine. So it's just not knowing these elements means you know that these things are not mine as well. See that this, there is this, whatever the heart, we consider that known as the element of extension. So there is element of extension internal, element of extension external. So both are the same. So as the outside, that external element of extension is not mine, similarly this internal one is not mine. Whatever the internal one and the external one, they are the same. So whatever heart in the world, we remove from the mind that these things are not mine. So that is the what Buddha said, that one should not be negligent on wisdom. So that is the wisdom. So as quick, so as soon as you remove those things by your intuitive wisdom and thoroughly know those things are not mine, so then that lead to the development of the wisdom, and one would actually see it is in that way.
This radiation, I can't remember.
That's the element of heat. Element of heat is, I mean, different people use different translations. Yeah, element of heat is the radiation. So, and might there be another way, also reverse, according to which it suffices to say the monkey is killed in the elements. There might be ananda. There are these six elements, ananda. The element of happiness, the element of anguish, the element of gladness, the element of sorrow, the element of equanimity, the element of ignorance. When ananda, he knows and sees these six elements, it is at this stage that it suffices to say the monkey is killed in the element. So you can see there is this physical happiness, and then there is this physical unhappiness. So you can say pain, physical pain. So if we take a chair, neither comfortable nor uncomfortable, you have a sort of a equanimity sort of state about that one. And so there is ignorance in that particular case. So if you are sitting down and comfortable there, say chair, you get the physical happiness. If it is uncomfortable chair, so you get a pain, physical pain. And there is this mental pleasure and mental displeasure. So if we, when we acquire something, we like to, you know, see and or have, so there is this mental pleasure that is simply constructed by the mind itself. The mind constructs that thing as well. So mental ones all constructed. Basically it is just, we construct the way that we want. So there is mental pleasure, and then we construct the mental displeasure, you know, that nothing happened. Maybe that someone passed, just gone by, that I'm not happy to see him. He didn't do anything, he didn't attack or anything, just that person. This is even the wind is good enough. So just to think about this, that one, and get into the idea that I don't like, and you know, displeasure. So this person is burning with that, and the other person is simply gone and probably not know, do not know. So the stupid thing when one think about it. So there is this displeasure. And then you can see that there is this the element of sorrow, the element of equanimity, and the element of ignorance. So the element of equanimity is that when you are indifferent to those four feelings that we just described, physical pain and the physical happiness, mental pleasure and the mental happiness. So there are those four. So if you are indifferent to those four, then you reach the state of equanimity. That that it is actually happening, properly happening in the fourth jhana concentration level. Because the other concentration level, that you get the pleasure and the rapture, so you are happy about that pleasure. So you want to be with that one. And beyond the third jhana level, that where you actually give up that pleasure, because understanding this is also constructed, you would give up that one. And you become indifferent to that pleasure that has arisen. So one would reach the fourth level, and it is with the equanimity. Opposite to that one is the ignorance. Ignorance is that if we take that example of that chair, and when it is neither comfortable nor uncomfortable, and I am happy to just stay on that one, and until that either somebody come and take that chair, or something happened, that chair got broken, that sort of thing. So ignorance, that he does not know that the impermanent nature of this thing. So therefore there is this ignorance. So that again we understand those elements in terms of that six. Then might there be another way, revered sir, according to which it suffices to say the monk is skilled in the elements? There might be, Ananda. There are these six elements, Ananda: the element of sensuous pleasure, the element of renunciation, the element of malice, the element of non-malice, the element of harming, the element of non-harming. When Ananda, he knows and sees these six elements, it is at this stage that it serves to say the monk is skilled in the elements. So the sensuous pleasure and now Buddha explained these things in, again in the connected discourses of the Buddha Sanghita Nikaya, Dhatu Sanghita, in greater detail how it is happening. So I have one example over here, one part of that, one of the discourses. So we have this sensual element or Kama Dhatu. That sensual element is that there is something, your eye is enticing and pleasurable with that object. So you are thinking about that. So that particular thing that lead to that thinking is the sensual element, whatever thing it is. Now, because of the sensual element, there is this sensual perception, so that I perceive that particular thing. And that is Kama Sanya. So then the sensual intention come to arise, Kama Sankappa. And with the intention, there is this sensual desire, Kama Chanda. And you can actually get one example. Let's say you saw something, a furniture, a really nice furniture in somebody else's house. So with that element, you got this thought, this is nice and this is good for me and this is good for my house or whatever sort of a thought. So now with the sensual element, then there is this sensual perception, the perception about that that object. Having that perception, and there is this intention, I would like to have this, I would like to have one of these to my house and sort of thing. And so that there is this chanda, desire, sensual desire about that furniture arises. And then the sensual passion is happening, paridahaya, that is now sort of burning with that passion. I also want that, very badly want it. Now, because of that one, there is this sensual quest, kama pareshana, that is actually now searching for one. I want to have it, so I want to go and find it. So I'm going to Harvey Norman and, or somewhere. And so I'm looking at these things. So when I look at that one, then I gain that one. Mentally gain, I didn't physically get it. So mentally I actually got it. It's called the sensual gain. And when I got that one, then I actually examine that one. Is the color is okay, and is this fit to my curtains and house and that space and everything. So vinishya, so you examine it. When you examine that one, then there's this lustful desire. Now I want it very badly. This fits very well to my description, the whatever thing I make up in my mind. The house, the color, and the curtains, and this is what, that's the time that the selling person knows about this one. So he's happy to sell it for a, not reducing the price as well. So, and so lustful desire, and then this attachment, ajosana, and then you have the possessiveness about that one, so that you possess that one. And then comes the stinginess, that you take it to your house and then maybe your child is coming up with a pen to, you protect it, those things are coming up. And then that is that used to the defensiveness, so you defend that one. Oh, this is happening everywhere, the countries, I want that country, I want that oil, I want that thing, this thing, and then go bombing and all those things, and protecting the borders and all those things. Everyone doing that one in a great extent.
Yeah, unless he And it's, because this is happening with everything, as what I have experienced is like that. For every single thing, it's happening like that. But unless you know Dhamma, you don't realize it is happening. And even though, not only that, so you don't notice that it is happening within yourself. Because that's why all the time, even for a single moment, you are in the future. Not in the present moment.
Yeah. Having seen something, you are in the future. You are in the buying position of that furniture or whatever thing it is. It is what it is. So the mind occupies with that. No? That's the bad part. Mind is preoccupied with that situation. You know, when you are buying something also, you know, that your price and all those things.
So. Yeah, now we went through that. You went through that, all those steps, from top to the bottom. And how we can avoid that situation? What sort of things?
So that's the next Dhamma. You see that the next one is the renunciation element. Nekkamma Dhatu. So with the renunciation element, there is a perception of renunciation. But how do you get the renunciation element? Well, you should see that, let's say that in the furniture example, you should see after 5 years or something, you know, it is all worn out and the ink and everything and sort of thing and the springs are not. So you see the real nature of that one, the impermanent nature. Having seen...
But that is if you only analyze that and stop it. But if you know Dhamma, so...
You know Dhamma means that, you have done that part before. This is for someone who has not seen and analyzed it before. So this is the beginning point that he actually see, you know, that either, well, I bought it today, but then I go to other person's house that, well, it's already, you know, oh, my one also become like that. So you get that feeling, right? So if you know the peril of these things, what's going to happen and sort of thing, and then you get the disgusting feeling about that thing. So then you want to get rid of it from the mind. So that is the renunciation element. Nekkamma Dhatu. So depending on that one, you have the perception of renunciation. Previously you have sensual perception, now the perception of renunciation. I want to give up. For example, if you think about this body very heavily, how much trouble you have with this body, you know, to feed it and get the food and then maintain it, going to work, and you are in that cage for that many hours while the sun is outside. And you can see you get up in the morning, all those things, and even the night time, you can't even put the body in one position. You need to turn it this way, and you are not thinking about it, but Buddha is telling it how much trouble we have even in the sleep. If you keep it for a long time, then you know that it's react. If you are sick, you get the bed, you know, the wounds and sort of thing. And so we are turning this way, turning that way, and it's a pretty difficult thing to do. And imagine how much work and how much thing we do just to maintain this body. There's so much to do with this body. 99% of our time is actually occupied with this body, either doing this way. We sort of, you know, take it as part and parcel of life and things that it is. But Buddha was not thinking like that. Buddha was thinking that there is a way to get out of this one. So if you know about this body, those five great elements, for example, that just discussed before, and then you get this the revulsion towards it, so the renunciation element. Because of that one, you get the perception of renunciation. And then there is this intention of renunciation, ekam sankappa. And then there is this desire for renunciation, and the passion for renunciation, and the quest for renunciation. And when you have the quest for renunciation, that abandons the search for sensual desire. That's what you do. You abandon the search for sensual desire. I'm not looking for that. So when you do that, that way actually fulfill the concentration category. You get the samadhi, concentration, because of that. So with that concentration, then you actually see how to get out of this life, because you get the mind becoming free more and more. When you occupy with, you know, that if you take the furniture example, when you occupy with your mind, how much trouble you have with that one? you know, analyzing, going there, searching, taking it, all those things, bringing it, you need a lorry or something to, you know, transport everything and to maintain it. But when you give it up, you know, there's nothing to worry. So, concentration is going up and then you get vimukti, liberation of the mind out of that. So, similarly, the four elements, similarly analyze, you know, with the anger also, we go into this paridaha level, this is the burning with the anger. And so, you look for weapons and all those things with that one. And with the loving kindness, you are going in the other way around. So that about that those four elements. There's a discourse called Sannidhana Sutta. In connected discourses, it's for that one.
Which number is that?
It is in your book. Well, my one is page 635. It's called With the Source. With the Source. That is the discourse name. So then Venerable Ananda asks, might there be another way also reverse, according to which it suffices to say the monk is killing the animal? There might be, Ananda. There are these three elements. Ananda, the element of sensuous pleasure, element of fine materiality, element of non-materiality. When Ananda, he knows and sees these three elements, it is at this stage that it suffices to say the monk is killed in the elements. So that is that we are being born. If you are going to be born, you will be born into one of these three. Either sense sphere or the form sphere where you have the mind-made body. Or the formless sphere, you have the perception-born body and you don't have actually a body. So those are the things. Now you can see how Buddha is going. Buddha is actually coming up with those eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind earlier. Eye and the form, eye consciousness. And then and a bit of gross one, like this, the element of extension, element of heat, element of motion, you can see that some properties of that one, out of what happening from here. And then Buddha is going to about this, the feelings that we are getting out of that one, a little bit, you know, something, some substance that you can call, recall and think. And then the sensuous pleasures, you know, that the just what we analyzed a little while ago, those things. Now Buddha is actually talking about the big thing that you will be born into these worlds. So these are the three elements in that sense. This is element is elementary thing that wherever, whatever you can actually be born, those are the three elements.
Can you please again mention those three words?
So that's the sensuous sphere.
What's that?
That means that we are in the human world, six divine worlds, and then the plane of departed, Pretaloka, and then the hell, animal realm, that is all in sensuous sphere. And then the Brahma world is the first jhana to fourth jhana. So there are about 3 × 3, 9 plus another 7, so about 16 realms. The first jhana realm, there are 3 realms. There is this fine materiality. They live in this with the pleasure. For example, Abhasar Brahma world, where the second jhana realm, their food is the delight. They don't have this food like we do. When they are happy, that's the food. So they use that as the.
How do they get the happiness?
Well, maybe the meditation. You know that they do the meditation and they went over there, and then they keep on using the meditation. So that becomes their food.
Do they get the happiness when somebody passed the merits?
No. They don't. I mean, anyone can have that one. I mean, even a human being, when someone actually say passing the merits, you don't get the merits, but you say that I actually did this Bodhi Puja or something for you and sort of, then that my person might be, it's something for me that they have done because of thinking. Similarly, those divine beings, they can't get merits. It's only Preta world that can get our merits. Only.
I see.
Only Preta.
So what do they do that to ghost then?
Well, you are sort of inviting that I am actually doing good. You know, when you have a party or you are doing almsgiving, you are inviting others to come. Likewise, you are inviting others to come and enjoy this this particular.
But we do the at the end of that, not the beginning of the things that we do.
Yes. That has been the practice. So if they are there, it is like that. But I mean, if you are correctly doing it, you should invite before. For example, when monks are actually preaching Dhamma, they actually invite them to come and listen to the Dhamma. So that's that way. So if you have almsgiving or something, please invite them beforehand. So when they are, if they are happy, then they come and join. You know, then they become happy as well. It's like, you know, if you have a party, when you have a party, then others are coming. They may not be bringing anything. They enjoy, and by seeing that they enjoy, you enjoy, that sort of thing. So they can't, none of them can have, only the plane of departed, Pretaloka, is the one that they can have the food. There's a discourse in Anguttara Nikaya, I think.
When you said that jhana level, that's a different world, I didn't understand.
First, well, you do the meditation. Let's say you actually apply the impermanent nature. And so when you see these material things are impermanent and so on, and then I'm suffering and it is not mine, and then you tend to lose these five hindrances. So you lose five hindrances, you suppress it in a certain way, and you actually got out of that one, then the pleasure arises within you. So rapture is there, and then you have the pleasure and the rapture both. And you have the concentration. That's the first jhana level. So you have the initial application and sustained application. Initial application is this nekkamma vitakka you were just talking about. And then the vyapada vitakka, that is the thought of renunciation and thought of non-malevolence. When you have those thoughts, you go into the, when you maintain those thoughts, you go into the first jhana concentration level. So there you have the rapture and pleasure, you don't have any sensuous. No one can take you down at that time with the sensuous pleasures. So you can go beyond that one, and then you don't like the rapture because this rapture is a bit troublesome, and then you give up that one and you become pleasurable only. So you have the pleasure, and then you find that pleasure is also biased. This is also constructed. So you give up the attachment to the pleasure as well. So you go to the equanimity level. So that's the fourth jhana level. So there are four stages over there. So let's say you have that sort of level, and then you pass away.
Okay.
And then you'll be born in that one because you are maintaining that stage.
So there are corresponding deva levels with that characteristic we develop in his mind.
The same thing as the, you know, if you have the animal behavior, then we can expect that I have the animal behavior, and so I'll be an animal. So what you practice and what you maintain, so you go in that direction. So if you maintain the divine things, like you are giving alms and, you know, making other people happy and sort of loving kindness, all those things, so you'll be going to the sensuous, probably sensuous world, and that one. That you know, six divine realms, and because you do have the sense pressure, your attachment to sense pressure as well, and you are doing good for for others, and if you go beyond that one, and then you are going to the concentration levels where you don't want sensuous pressures, you give up the sensuous pressures in that moment of that. And then you are happy about that, you maintain it. So you, then you will be born in those world where there is nothing about sensuous happiness, no, nothing to do with the body. It's only mental pleasure, that sort of thing. So Buddha's advice is to go on to those levels. So then, so there are stages over there. So one can actually go beyond that, the pleasurable level. They don't want anything to do with pleasure, because having seen that pleasure is, remember the last week discussion about the consciousness is infinite. So I don't want to maintain that one either, because it's constructed. So he get out of that one, going to the perception is infinite. The space is infinite level. So not the space is infinite, the plane of nothing, no perception. So one can go into those, there are four realms in that one. So if you maintain that one, and it is that the you know, lake, and the, you know, the intention is that you will be born over there, because you did whatever thing required to attain that level, and you pass away, you are there. You are not coming back to this one. I mean, after going there, living for a long, long time, then, you know, you can come back, can go back to hell. So there's no sort of security. Mm-hmm. But you have a security for a long time. Over here, 80 years, you know, sort of thing. Over there, it is eons. That those, the last one has got 84,000 eons you live. So world get, you know, contracted, expanded 84,000 times. This world get destroyed, earth get destroyed, for example. Still that person is living. So, because you can see that if you are maintaining the body, and this is the biggest difficulty, right? But if you are not maintaining the body, only the mind, and if you are not even maintaining the mind, you are maintaining the perception, and then over there, neither perception nor non-perception is not either constructing any of these things. No construction whatsoever. So it is that level. That is the highest settlement. Highest thing one can actually construct if you want to live, you know, for a long time without a trouble. Well, that's the place to be.
So at which stage you go there but not come back,
you need to attain the you need to have the understanding, you know, the knowledge about the Four Noble Truths.
Mm-hmm.
That this is suffering. Whatever the realm is, it is suffering. Whatever birth is suffering. Either you come live over here, live short time, or you can see immediate suffering over here. Over there, well, after long time, let's say you were stable for that long time, and then you know that tomorrow I'm going to pass away. You do not even know how to be born, you know, that you have been there for such a long time. So,
but going to those stages without understanding them is not helpful at all, isn't it? Because then you wouldn't have a chance to get the Nibbana at any stage.
Mm. Yeah, well, over there, if you go there with the understanding, then you can develop and then attain. Otherwise, it's just a security for a little time.
So you're saying that even for understanding Dhamma, you can go to those...
Yeah. If you practice, you know, you got to have some understanding. I mean, who would give up the body?
Mm.
Many people like the body, want to maintain the body. So, if you have the understanding, I don't want this body, I'm disgusted about the body, that's the only way you can go out of this one.
Mm.
So he had some sort of understanding, but that understanding is not good enough to attain. You know, you need the Buddha's Dhamma, that is the Eightfold Path, practicing to get out of it. Now, so the next one is that these three, so we discussed the three elements, the three worlds, and might there be another way reverse, according to which it suffices to say the monkey is killed in the element. There might be another. There are these two elements, the element that is constructed, the element that is unconstructed. And when another, he knows and he sees these two elements, it is at this stage that is supposed to say the monk is killed in the elements. So this is sankata dhatu and asankata dhatu. Now I can talk for an hour about this thing. Sankata is that, you know, that you constructed. Constructed is everything in the world is constructed. There is only one thing that is not constructed, is this nibbana, asankata. Not the Dhamma. Dhamma is constructed. Nibbana. Nibbana is, you see that you are constructing something first. And let's say that is because of the craving you are actually doing this. So having seen the problem about this thing, if I actually get a body, another body, for example, then I know the trouble that I am going to live. I am going to have to go to school. I remember you were small. You know, when you were small, you were taking the bag and going to school, studying, and then, you know, and then getting the job done and all the troubles that you had so far. So you understand that this, because of craving that I have, I have this particular problem. What if I give up this craving? So you give up this craving for these material things, that is your body, and then the feelings, and then for perceptions, and then this volitional formation, and then the consciousness. Gradually you can see the last week discussion. Materiality, first he sees this material, the element of extension, that is not mine. The other ones are not mine. So the element of cohesion, and then the space element, and then the consciousness element. All these things are not mine, and he removed it from his mind. His mind is now free from those elements. So it's sort of pure. Now he still sees these things is actually constructed. Whatever thing I do, it is constructed. I can stay in this space is infinite or consciousness infinite realm for a long time, as much as I want. That is actually the equanimity is maintained. Remember, we were talking about these four jhanas before. There we have pleasure, displeasure sort of scenario. So you give up those, and now you have the equanimity. In those realms, you can maintain the equanimity for a long, long time, in the sense that is infinite. You can maintain the equanimity. That is the idea over there. So, but you see that this is constructed. That person, when he was walking or something, he did not have this one. Now he's sitting down, he's doing the meditation. He can see that I can attain this one, I can maintain. I have the control and I stay there. But I did not have it before. So that you can see it is you constructed that. When you get out of the seat, and it's no longer there. So having understood this phenomena of arising and the passing of it, so he does not want to construct anything any further. No construction. So he doesn't have any intention to construct or destruct. So when he is staying that way, he becomes very stable. Because nothing, like the lotus petal, you know, water drops, it's just flush away. Nothing is grasped and hold. So he actually become very stable, and he attained Nibbana in that way. So what he did, he gave up all the craving, all the clingings, whatever the clingings that created the trouble, he gave up. So cessation of his all the clinging is Nibbana. It is to be found within, not outside. So whatever the craving you have, if you have the ability to give up, you can't just give up like that. It is with the practice and with the understanding one can give up. So when you give up, then you actually see Nibbana. Your mind is not an object. You can see it is the same, very same craving, the lust and the malice and then the harming. All those three things, delusion, all given up. So when you give up those things, then you give up this total eradication of this craving. So this Nibbana is to be found within oneself. So that is the Nibbana. So normally when you meditate, when you do not know about Nibbana, you sort of think it as an object, tend to think it as object, because we have been perceiving all the time objects, either mental or physical objects. So we think Nibbana is also as an object. It's not an object. It is the cessation of the craving, very same craving within oneself. So that is asankata. Nibbana, that's the only thing that not subject to falsity. It's not going to fail. Nibbana, everything else it failing. So we just discussed, if you being born in neither perception non-perception world, that you live for 84,000 eons, but you will still pass away from that realm. So with the cessation of all craving, there's nothing. You won't be born, so there's no aging, sickness, death or whatever thing it is. So that's the cessation of whole thing. So that's the aim of a Buddhist who want to get rid of this thing. And if there is a very little amount of craving, well, then you have that consequence of being born somewhere. So how we get this sankata thing is, if you remember about this diagram we discussed sometimes ago about this three with the agreeable object, for example, then you get the contact to be felt as pleasant, and the pleasant feeling approach with joy, lust arises, sensual desire thinking, lust born fever arises, and then there is this constructed characteristics arising, that is upada sankata plakkana, the upada sankata. So that we are coming to the word sankata, constructed characteristic of arising. When you have that on, then you can see that you have done with it. In the sense that you have to now It's like that, you know, you have climbed the mountain. Now either you have to come back the same way or you have to go the other way. So you need to have that fruit of that thing. So this is the one sankata, constructed thing. And similarly the other two parts lead to the constructions. So we have these three kind of construction. One construction is constructed characteristic of arising, constructed characteristic alteration, that which stands, or constructed characteristic of passing. Those are the three we lead to this from this element. And again you can see that these four nutriments also lead to the similar constructions. So that's what we do. That's what we have been doing all the times, many, many eons. As far as we are, we have this birth. That's what we have been doing, but we continue doing it. That's the bad part. So then, so that's about this ayat dhatu. At what stage, reverse, does it suffice to say the monkey is killed in the sense fields? So this ayat, these six sense fields, Ananda, are internal, external. The eye as well as material shape, the ear as well as sound, the nose as well as smell. So you can see, so this is the problem. The eye and the form, that one is the problem. When we have those two, the eye consciousness arises. Meeting of the three is called contact. When we have the contact, there is no doubt feeling arises. So when you get the feeling, then all the problems come to arise with the clinging, you know, that with that. So, and the ear and the sound, similarly, the same thing will happen. We go with it. Buddha said that it's like a cow, you know, that the cow, when the skin is taken out, and wherever it goes, those creatures nibble at her, go under the water, then this fish, you know, nibble at her. So, contact arises. Whatever we try to stop, so you can control it. It arises. So that's the starting point of the trouble. And what stage, reverse, does it suffice to say the monk is killing, dependent, arising? As to this Ananda, a monk knows thus, if this is, that come to be. From the arising of this, that arises. If this is not, that does not come to be. From the stopping of this, that is stopped. That is to say, conditioned by ignorance, are the karma formations. Conditioned by the karma formations is consciousness. Conditioned by consciousness is name and shape. Conditioned by name and shape is the field of sense fields. Conditioned by the field of six senses, sensory impingement, that is contact. Conditioned by contact is feeling. Conditioned by feeling is craving. Conditioned by craving is grasping. Conditioned by grasping is becoming. Conditioned by becoming is birth. Conditioned by birth, they are come into being, old age, time, grief, sorrow, suffering, lamentation and despair. Thus is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. That is the paticca-samuppada. So, why do we get this avijja or ignorance? We get the avijja because of the vipallasa. Vipallasa is that we have this, we pursue something, let's say as food here, and we pursue that one as not as foul thing. It is, we actually are thinking that is a good one, good thing. And when we see some, when we have a contact, then we always perceive that one as pleasurable, not as displeasurable thing. You know, it is actually suffering. We consider this one as pleasure, sukha. And again, with the volition, as the food, we perceive that these things are as mine. This is mine. You know, that sort of feeling, that one perception one would get. Because that you pursue something pleasurable, that pleasurable thing is good, so that I want it. So this is mine, you know, that we will construct as mine. And since those feelings that I constructed, and I tend to think that it is permanent. Or if it is impermanent, I'm not going to construct. I'm constructing because it's permanent. It's good. So that I get the idea of this permanent. So those are called vipallas or perversions. We see other way around. That's what it is. We so don't see it correctly. We see wrong perceptions. So, because of that, we get this avidya or ignorance. And because of the ignorance, and we discussed this discourse before about this going through very detailed analysis of dependent origination. It's also in my website. There's a lot to take in this thing. I've just point out two things over here. So we were talking about because of the perversion we got this ignorance, avidya, and because of that one we have sankhara. Sankhara is that this volitional formation. Buddha asked in Paralaya Sutra that how do you get this sankhara, you know, what makes it real? So Buddha said one regards form as self, form as self, that regarding is a formation. That's how the formation come to be. Whenever you regard something as mine, then you get the formation. If that furniture example you are talking about, whenever you regard that particular furniture that I have seen, and this is mine, this fits me very well, and this is suitable for me, and that this is, so I am making, I have the craving. So
there is that, if there are some food here, that if you think this is very yummy food, that means at that time also you have done it as mine.
Yeah, you may not have gone further.
Yeah,
you might have holding it lightly.
Mm.
Somebody may be holding it very tightly. So depending on the nature. But if you the same person, let's say you have eaten and your tummy is full, then you see it, you might think, oh, this is good, but I don't want it. You know, even the tiger won't kill anyone, its tummy is full. So the same person, the depending on the state of the mind. So because mind is not permanent thing, it is constructed.
How about if you see some food, but even though you haven't eaten, but you think that I should have eaten, what would happen then?
Well, according to your karma, and how do you perceive, how do you hold it, you have the consequences of those things. So basically, if it is an Arahant, his mind is free from those things. So he won't construct anything like that. But anybody else, you know, sort of has got this my making. This is mine, and I making, and my making will occur depending on the person. So there is this results of that action come. So what Buddha said, that how it is arising, because of the root of that one is that there is this contact, ignorant contact. Buddha said it's the ignorant contact. So that food, that was the ignorant contact. So that feeling arises depending on that contact. So one would be clinging to the feeling that has arisen on that one. The craving arises because of that thing. Well, we get this sanskara. So if someone understands that the contact is impermanent and the feeling is impermanent and that craving is impermanent, he would attain. He would straight away go out of it. And he would say that that person, if he really understand at that time, he get the magga, pala, jnana, if he understand all those three. So that's how the sanskara, and because of the sanskara, then it is actually constructing this consciousness. You know, that this consciousness that we were talking about, that food, that the mind is now holding to that, consciousness is holding to that form, that is that food, and it is delighting with that one, so that it is mine. You know, it is not actually mine. Somebody can take it, but well, that's mine. You know, that feeling is there inside. So that's the reaction people get. So you can see how far we are going with the tiny little thing, and so the whole stream continues, and up to the birth. And Buddha said that if you seek delight in the eye, you seek delight in suffering. If you seek delight in suffering, you are not free from suffering. Whatever the craving, you can't give up all the craving at once. But you need to understand what this is, what is happening. This is the problem. So if you keep on understanding this thing, keep on repeating this thing, for example, then you understand, oh, this is how it is happening. So that the knowledge is coming up bit by bit about that thing. And then one day you have the ability to give up completely. So then, so this is the arising of, and then, but from the utter fading away and stopping of this very ignorance is the stopping of the formation. From the stopping of the formations is the stopping of consciousness. From the stopping of consciousness is the stopping of name and form, namarupa. From the stopping of name and form is the stopping of six sense fields. From the stopping of the six sense field is the stopping of impingement, contact. From the stopping of contact is the stopping of feeling. From the stopping of feeling is the stopping of craving. From the stopping of craving is the stopping of grasping. From the stopping of grasping is the stopping of becoming. From the stopping of becoming is the stopping of birth. From the stopping of birth, old age, dying, grief, sorrow, suffering, lamentation, despair are stopped. Everything stopped. All the troubles stopped. Thus is the stopping of the whole mass of anguish. It is that stage, Ananda, that is suffice to say the monk is killed independent or arising. And if someone is killed independent arising, that he has done much about it, about them. And what stage, reverse, does it suffice to say the monk is killed in the possible and the impossible? As to this Ananda, a monk comprehend, it is impossible, it cannot come to pass that a man possessed of right view should go to any construction as permanent. This situation does not occur. He comprehend, but this situation occurs when an average man might go to some construction as permanent. This situation occurs. It is the word, Pali word is ditti sampanno. Sankaram nichato. So, a person, for example, Sri Mentor, Sotapanna, he does not think that these constructions are permanent. It is actually by understanding that constructions are impermanent that he actually attained the Sri Mentor level. So, he never thinks that it is permanent. He might have other problems, but constructions, sankata things, he understands they are all sankata constructed.
So that means when you become Sotapanna, so that means you understand the construction.
Yes.
Okay.
Impermanent nature of those things. It's by understanding the impermanent nature, you understand. Because to understand the impermanent nature, you understand the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena.
Through meditation.
Otherwise, so that is called. Not otherwise. Yeah. So you know the Udyabhya Jnana, knowledge about the arising and passing. Because of the arising and passing knowledge, one would get the knowledge about the impermanent nature. So this paticca samuppada, the dependent origination, for example, it will repeat forward and the backward, you know, when I cease this one. So that also, the same thing is leading to that. That's the biggest thing. But if you do the samadhi bhavana, concentration meditation, that where this you see the arising phenomena, I seek delight in form, I welcome it, remain hold into it. Because of that one, that delight in form arises. And so the delight in form is the craving. So this craving as condition, there is this clinging as condition existence. So that phenomena, you understand that phenomena. So you understand the arising and the passing away. So that does not mean that you understand the impermanent nature fully. You understand a significant part of it compared to a lay person. So if you completely understand the impermanent nature, then you are an arahant. Yes.
Isn't it when you understand Dhamma, that means to a realization, and then when you meditate, so you try to understand in that at that time too, and you partly understand it, isn't it? Otherwise, it's not.
No. It is that I'm taking this example all the time. It is something like first you got the knowledge, you know, the knowledge blocks or whatever thing it is, that this is the way that this is, but you have not seen it. You are going through the Buddha's description and you keep on applying to every object or everything that you can see and so, but still your knowledge has not been completed because you have some sort of doubt about certain things you do not know about.
Okay, because you don't know what is that thing.
For example, I can remember I was meditating for about 6 months about the Four Noble Truths. For that 6 months, I could not understand why the Brahma world is suffering. When I'm talking about long time ago, I was thinking, why? I mean, I can see that the animal realm is so suffering. No problems, I accept that. The human, I know how much suffering I have. Departed, plane of the hell, I can see that it is suffering. And the divine world, so I can even think, well, there was some war over there. Okay, so I accept. So, Brahma world, what can I think? You know, and then after long time, and it come to my mind, it is because that these things, I, for example, over there also there is this I, and I get the impermanent I. That's why it is suffering.
And you have the aging too there, isn't it?
Well, not from the body.
Yeah, but some sort of aging is there. That's why you pass away.
Yeah. So there is some these constructions, whatever thing it is there. But you see, you have the impermanent nature for many things in that at that time in my mind, but not for those words that I have not perceived and not sort of have the ability to pursue. Because, likewise, there may be something in your mind you do not know, have not penetrated, that this is suffering. You may be clinging to that thing as well. Then you can see these things actually when you go to higher concentration. You see, you may be a good Buddhist. You are actually practicing these things. And if you not thoroughly, you know, you have don't have the wisdom, proper wisdom, when you go to the spaces infinite level, you really feel that is really good. But you are a Buddhist, you have heard this one. When you actually maintain and have that stage, there you can see. And then you can say, oh, I am going to the space is infinite as well. First time I think about the space, you know, about the concentration, meditation, about the space. But I was thinking, I'm not clinging to space at all. But then I realized.
You are when you get to that stage.
No, take the office. Somebody coming with a box and putting in your space. What do you do? You have the reaction in your room, you know. Why? We are clinging to the space. So we do cling to space. We do not realize that we are clinging. So there are states. That's why Buddha sending us to every possible direction. Buddha send us to 8 possible directions. There, when you go into those directions, then you know everywhere it is the same. You have constructed, there is this suffering. So, now, he comprehends it is impossible, it cannot come to pass that a man possessed of right view should go to any construction that is happy. This situation does not occur, he comprehends, but this situation occurs when an average man might go to some construction as happy. Sankaran sukato, sukha. And he comprehends it is impossible, it cannot come to pass that a man possessed of right view should go to any dhamma as self. This situation does not occur, he comprehends, but this situation occurs when an average man might go to some dhamma as self. So here dhamma attato, these are mine, this is mine. So you need to, I don't know whether you will understand, but remember we discussed this one a little bit before, that because of this property and existence that we are doing the eye making, right? So because of the eye making, there is this attha, the own body. So when you talk about the own body, you have, there are this internal object and the external object. So internally we have the body and we regard this my leg as mine, my hair, everything, and that is mine. And there are external objects, like this recording device or whatever thing it is. And then I am regarding those things as mine as well. So when you are actively attaining the stream enter state or something, stream enter state for example, you would not actually give up that clinging to all the other things. You understand this body is constructed. This is an impermanent thing and you have constructed this thing. So that is the understanding. So if you understand the not-self nature properly, that means you would have understood that this is not mine as well as all the other things are not mine. So there are two things called my making and I making. My making, I making is the one that about this body. The my making is the one about the other external objects, so the internal and external. So he comprehends that it is it cannot come to pass that a man possessed of right view should deprive his mother. So that is the killing mother, father. So that is the next one is about killing father. If you are a stream enter, you wouldn't do that. The other one can do it. He comprehends it is impossible, it cannot come to pass that a man possessed of right view should cause schism in the order and also draw up blood from Tathagata's body. So those things won't happen. He comprehends it's impossible, it cannot come to pass that in the one world system, that is Ekis Loka Dhatu, two perfected ones, are fully self-awakened ones should arise simultaneously. That means two Buddhas cannot come in one world system. So that is, there is this sun and then there is this about 33 planes with that sun over here. So that sort of a world system, there cannot be two Buddhas. But other world systems, there can be Buddhas. So there can be Buddhas in other worlds right now. So one world system, only one Buddha.
What do you mean the other world system?
Well, you see, the Buddha said, within the radiance of the sun, there are another 1,000 suns.
Oh, okay. And so one sun is for one world?
Yes. So those 1,000 suns, each one of them has got a parallel, you know, this the earth, the planes, all the other planes are there. So that's Buddha can address those worlds as well if he wants. He can actually address 3,000 fold system. That is, this is the 1,000 fold system we were talking about. And then if you take these 1,000 fold systems, the radiance of those 1,000 fold systems will reach somewhere. So then you get the 1,000 into 1,000, you know, million sort of a fold system. And if you take those 1,000 and 1,000 systems, spreading the light to the how far? So that is 3,000-4,000 system. The Buddha can address that far. We can actually make a perception so that other beings can actually perceive.
So there are no human beings in other world anyway. Other worlds.
They are.
Because human beings.
Well, the human beings, divine beings, all the beings are there.
In the other worlds, under the other suns.
You are not alone. And there is migration as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is migration as well from those things to here. Mm. So, and then he comprehends it's impossible to come to pass that in one world system, two world wheel-turning monarchs, you know, they exist simultaneously. It is impossible that a woman who is perfected one, so a woman can't become a Buddha, you can become, you know, after the next birth and so on, but not in that birth. And a woman cannot become a Sakka, Mara, a Brahma. Brahma means that Mahabrahma, that there are certain post. He comprehends that it is cannot come to pass that from a wrong conduct in body, speech, thought, there could result a fruit that was agreeable. So if you do bad things, you can't expect good things. That's what it is. But this situation occurs when from wrong conduct in body, speech, thought, there might result a fruit that was disagreeable. You know, being born in animal realm, hell and all those things. He comprehends it is impossible, it cannot come to pass from the right conduct in body, speech, thought, there might result a fruit that was agreeable. So the other way around, we are not talking about. But this situation occurs when from the right conduct in the body, speech, thought, there might result fruit that was agreeable, pleasant, light, and the situation occurs. So now one should not be mixed up this one that I am actually doing good things and sort of things that somehow if you hear that somebody actually passed away and born in the bad world, that is because there was previously done bad karma, although it is not visible over here, the previous ones are counted over there. He comprehends it is impossible, it cannot come to pass that one who addicted to wrong conduct in body, speech, thought, should from that condition arise on the breaking of the body after dying a good born. So if you do the wrong conduct, can't expect the good born, heavenly world or that sort of thing. And so the last one, he comprehends it is impossible, it cannot come to pass that one is addicted to right conduct in body, speech and thought. From that source, from that condition, arise on the breaking up of the body after dying in the sorrowful ways, bad bone, downfall, near hell. So if you do good things, you don't go, unless you have something bad done before. The situation does not occur, he comprehends, but this situation occurs when one who is addicted to right conduct in body, speech, thought, from the source, from the condition, arise on the breaking up of the body after dying. In a good born, a heaven world, this situation occurs. I mean, to analyze these things, to see that one, it is, you need this, first you need the Dibbachakku, the light manifestation, meditation, and then you get the Prajñācakku, that is the wisdom, that you can actually see the karma. The Buddha said that you can see that this person, having done this thing, that he is going to be born in that place. So karma can be analyzed, it's very difficult. That is the second knowledge Buddha got in his last, before the attainment. So one can develop that one, not only Buddha, anyone can develop it. But if you see, then you can actually see the karma, how it is.
Karma is not a construct.
Karma is constructed. Yeah. So that is like that we can see that when a builder is constructing something, you can see that he has done this much. Tomorrow he will do this much. So finally he will reach that, right? Likewise, we can see by doing these evil things, these evil constructions, how the evil constructions grows.
Cause and effect.
Yes.
Cause and effect is also a construct.
Yes.
The cause is a construct. So there's no relation in reality between cause and effect.
Except Nibbana, everything else is constructed. Dhamma is also constructed. So everything is constructed.
So impermanence is constructed.
Because we get the impermanent nature because we constructed something. If we have not constructed anything, then there is nothing impermanent. So that's the Nibbana. So in the Nibbana, since you have not constructed anything, therefore it's permanent. So, and then when this has been said, Venerable Ananda spoke thus to the Lord, it is wonderful reverser, it is marvelous reverser. What reverser is the name of this discourse on Dhamma? Wherefore do you, Ananda, remember this Dhamma as the manifold elements? Remember it as fourfold circle, remember it as the mirror of Dhamma, and remember it as the drum of deathlessness, Nibbana, and remember it as incomparable victory in the battle. So this covers the whole Dhamma. Everything is here. Those elements, if you are skilled in those elements, if you are skilled in the eye and the form, that the ayatana, and then if you are skilled in the dependent origination, and then this impossibility as and possibility, what else? Everything is there. It's a big discourse.
This is the only one that can the talk about everything together, isn't it? Because the other ones all talk about part of these ones.
Well, they take a different approach. Different approach in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, last time, you know, what we discussed, you know, it's going from the Dhyana to Dhyana, this concentration level, and having reached that, having seen these constructions, then he is neither constructing nor destructing, and then he attained Nibbana in that way. Everything is leading to the Nibbana. Whatever the discourse you take from the Buddha is leading to the Nibbana.
Can you please sort of explain the term dependent origination a bit? Dependent origination?
Well, whatever thing that come to be, it come to be depending on some condition. So, for example, you get this birth because of the existence. What is existence? Or bhava in Pali, is the existence of the craving. Whatever the craving. Now, a little while ago we discussed that if I see some food and then I had a thought asking about that question, you know, that that particular thing is now exist within me. The craving for the very same thing exists within me. As far as that craving is remain within me, by the time of death also, I am because I haven't given up that one, what is my likelihood? I wanted that one before, I remain holding to it, therefore I want it. So if I want it, then how do I get it? I got to have a birth. What sort of a birth? A birth that can actually consume that food. So that's we are. So if we had the thought, this food is disgusting, I don't want it, sort of that sort of feeling, then we wouldn't have been over here. We would have been somewhere else. But still it's a construction, and dependently that particular construction is born over there.
It's like because of this happens, isn't it? Because of that's what dependent origination is. And then because of that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. There is a condition. Always there is a condition. So there's this condition. One starting from one, because that the Buddha is starting with the avidya, ignorance. Because of the ignorance, we actually construct. If you know everything is impermanent, why would you actually construct any house? If you really know what I'm going to do next is going to break, you would simply watch it. You wouldn't bother constructing, right? Like a sand castle. If you know that it's going to break in the next second, you're not going to construct the same castle. So, unless you have the clinging to that, when it is actually breaking, also I'm happy sort of thing. So, not knowing, this says, we are constructing. What we do not know is the Four Noble Truth. So, not knowing the Four Noble Truth, we construct consciousness. Sankara is first we get the volitional formation, and then because of the volitional formation, I construct the consciousness. So the consciousness construct the name and form, nama rupa, and the name and form construct this the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, like this basis, and from that one there is this contact, and with the depending on the contact there is feeling. With the feeling, there is craving. When the eye is pleasurable feeling, I have the craving. When the eye is displeasure feeling, I have the craving to the pleasure. So I go back to the pleasure. So either way, I have the craving. So since I have the craving, I become clinging. So clinging for sensuous things, sensual things. We will have the clinging for this called sila buddha. Parama, so that is this rites and rituals. Attavadu bada, no, we can have this regarding the body. Remember, you're talking about I making, am I making? Yeah, so clinging to a self, doctrine of self. So because of the clinging, since before I'm clinging, I'm holding, then it remains within me, isn't it? It's like a pot that I have to put everything into the pot. So by the time of the death, also the pot is there. And so we are carrying that pot in a way. So I won't, since my pot is heavy, I want to be born accordingly where my pot can land. And so there is this existence of craving leading to the birth. What we collect, what we develop, you know, as qualities and all those things, are the ones actually taking us to those destinations. So with that existence, there is birth. Then when you have the birth, then you can expect that you are done with it. You have all the mass of suffering. So, aging, sickness, death, you know, sorrow, lamentation, pain, everything come to be. But with the cessation of those conditions, you know, cessation of ignorance, comes the cessation of formations. With the cessation of formations comes the cessation of this consciousness. So, the whole thing is continued in that way. It doesn't happen at once from the starting from the top end. It is normally from the bottom end it starts and gradually goes up with the understanding. So those are the, remember we discussed this one, there are about 36 knowledges. Every link over there is a one knowledge. And then there are 36 and is multiplied to, if you apply to the past, future and present, so it becomes 70, 72 knowledges or something like that.
100.
No, it is first you get the 72 because that you actually understand that this is... not only in the past, this Dhamma is also impermanent. The question that you were asking. Dhamma is also impermanent. By understanding that one, you're going to 72. So, it is this knowledge, as little by little we develop by hearing Dhamma and meditating. So, if you actually meditate on this Dhamma, I do sometimes the whole thing. I mean, I did yesterday as well. It's really peaceful, really good. Just think about these things. This, if you see anything you do not know, then that's the place you get stuck. But if you know each one of them, your flow is very smooth. You see, what we have is this dhatu elements. We construct all those elements and we fight with it. Having constructed, we fight. You see, we have the chakku jatu, you know, eye from the eye. But then it's eye consciousness is coming. And we have the sensuous things, all we constructed. And then they fight each other. You know, the people are fighting each other. As likewise, in your mind, they are fighting. I want to do meditation, I want to cook. I want to do meditation, I don't have to work. So each construction that we have done for ourselves is coming back and playing its part. Because we have trained our mind. So these whole dhatu, we construct these elements. Simply having constructed. When you actually see... Finally, it is only elements, nothing else. You know, you've got to be skilled in this thing. If you really see that it is only elements in the world, everywhere, whatever I construct is elements, you are not below the fourth jhana level. You are above that. It is, you simply see that it is all elements. Simply we construct all these elements. That's why Buddha is actually teaching these things. That you got to be skilled, and then you know how they arise in phenomena. If you do not know the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, the paticca-samuppada dependent origination, then you do not actually maintain that stage. Otherwise, you pick up whatever the element that you like and you live with it. But if you understand the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, that knowledge plus these are the things, and then these sense bases, these are the ones that create this problem, then your mind is still with you. It's not going anywhere. It's completely with you. So it's a very powerful discourse. And if you can master it, read it, you know, with the other Dhamma, you need a bit of a knowledge about these elements. Having got that knowledge, you can maintain it.
Could you explain a bit to me about this, the other worlds and everything? Is that the itera, what Lord Buddha say is that we get the next Buddha when this the world is destroyed and all these things? It's this world, this human being, these animals, and what we are talking about, divine beings and all these things under this sun.
Yeah.
And when it is another world, so at this time there may be a Buddha. Is that what you're talking? And then is that the things that they say that
Parallel
aliens
world.
Type things and world, those things migrating type things that
I don't know.
And what happens that because if we go to a divine world, so and then next birth can be in another world, not in this
world system. You mean another world system?
Another world system, yeah.
Yeah, you can. For example, Brahma, they have the power over 10,000-fold system. For example, this Baka Brahma in the Abhasa Brahma realm, he had the power over 10,000 world system. So that means he can visit, he can see, he has the power, he can shake them. All those things can be done.
So that means anybody who practiced Dhamma here and go be born in another world system and where a Buddha is can...
The migration. This is that I actually learned this one by talking to the Arahants in the Akanita Brahma realm. They are saying that the migration is occur. It is rare. It is rare. You are normally within this thing. That if you are here in Australia, you travel in Australia, right? Around this one. You are not actually traveling to the moon sort of thing, right? So, because you do not know the other worlds that much. You do not know who they are. So, you sort of tend to stay here.
Because of the karma and everything too. Because you have attachment and so you sort of are creating a circle.
Yes. But the migration is there. It is rare, but the migration is there as well. So whoever can come, you know, sort of thing that maybe they have friends from the higher level. So, I think we'll probably stop for today.